I think Brother Jeff is the most spiritual song leader I've ever encountered. When he leads singing, people just come forward. I think it's wonderful. So as you see behind me the flowers, and I'm wearing the black suit and the white shirt. I don't usually wear black. I say this for special occasions. But Mike Carbonara passed away on Monday, and we had the funeral. And so be in prayer for the family. They did the funeral at the church, the viewing of the funeral, and they went to the graveside, and then they had a meal in the annex because we had all the other rooms for school. It was very interesting to have school and funeral all at the same time. So it was interesting. But anyway, just be in prayer for them, and hopefully we think about them during this time of loss. Mike was a very nice person. I had met him this past winter, and he had given me a Lou Manali. I can't say it right. I'm not from Chicago. Thank you. One of those. He gave me a frozen pizza when I came to see him. So living up to his reputation, they mentioned the funeral. I wanted to raise my hand and say, I can vouch for what you just said. But I didn't do that. I'll just sit here with my black suit on. So anyway, just keep them in your prayers. Boy, it's great to be with you on a Wednesday night. I haven't been on Wednesday night in the big service in a long time. But I enjoy seeing you all. Usually I'm with the teens. But anyway, it's good to be here with you. I want to talk to you about a part of human nature that we all battle, and that is the struggle of being judgmental. How many of us are naturally judgmental without even trying? How often is it our first thought is a critical one about someone or something? The story goes, there's a person I know who teaches Spanish class, and she's explaining Spanish language and sentence structure. And she has a junior higher in her class explain to her how foolish the Spanish language is and how silly they are for the way they structure sentences. Now, this person's in junior high, so obviously they know a lot. But this language has been spoken by hundreds of millions of people for thousands of years, and yet the junior higher knows more. But this is our nature. Anything that's different than us or we're not used to, we just assume there's something wrong with it and it's faulty. So Christ is going to deal with the area of being judgmental. If you have your scriptures, please turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We're going to look in verse 37 through 41. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray as we look at this scripture. Help us to see Christ in his words. Help us to apply it to our own hearts. Lord, I pray you be the Carbonara family during this time of grief, and you lift them up and strengthen them. We pray for Tim with his surgery tomorrow as well, Lord, and I have other names I can't think of, Lord. I'm tired. But I pray that you would be with those in need at this time, we ask. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. I will hold it up. It says, "Judge not that you should not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet with it shall be measured to you again." And he spake a parable unto them. "Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceive not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself behold not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in your brother's eye." In this section of Scripture, the simple teaching is Christ will sharply condemn judging others. We are not to judge others, okay? Christ makes this very clear. There's only one meaning to this passage. We're not to judge other people. This is not Christ's likeness, and Christ has no tolerance of this. So, if we're not supposed to judge other people, does this mean that everything is okay then? We live in a society of relativism. And the only sin in our society is calling something sin. That is a sin. But all other sins are wrong. But it's okay to point out if someone else is judging. That's sinful. So are we supposed to be relativistic? Is this what Christ is teaching? Christ says not to judge. Does this mean everything is okay? Does this mean that someone like Osama bin Laden, is he fine? Is he okay? Are we not to judge him? This seems to be what Christ teaches. But I think this misunderstanding fails to see the point of what Christ is trying to say. Christ does not condemn discerning right from wrong. Okay? Matter of fact, Christ had no trouble pointing out right from wrong. I think some of the stuff that Christ says in the crowds where he said it, I think I would have been a little fearful to stand next to him. You think about the Pharisees. Does Christ mince words with the Pharisees? Try this on. Imagine me preaching one day, and imagine me pointing to a group somewhere, probably behind the third pillar, and imagine me say to this person, you know what? You're just a bunch of snakes back there. That's what you are. Could you imagine this? Can you imagine how you'd feel if you're the person he pointed to? Christ would also say this, you're a nicely painted grave. That's what you are. Could you imagine having Christ point at you and say that? I mean, this is a little judgmental, don't you think? I mean, I took a rudimentary Bible course, and they said, you're not supposed to do that. But this is what Christ seemed to do. Also, he would say things like this to the people that came to hear him. You are just like your father, and your father is not Abraham, it is Satan. Can anything be more clear? Christ has no trouble drawing lines between right and wrong. So I think when Christ talks about condemning judgmentalism, I think what he's referring to is being a judgmental person, okay? Having a critical spirit of others. That's different than seeing right from wrong. And I can give you some examples, okay? Someone who's judgmental will quickly assume the worst of other people. And before they get facts, just hearing one side of the story, they're quick to look down on someone. We've all met judgmental people. And I can give you some examples of it. I think there's a spirit that goes behind it. But this is the type of person that keeps track of other people's sins, you know? There's people that keep lists in their mind, and it's like their heads are on a swivel, right? They're going to catch the next person making a mistake because it's their job to see, because they need to know these things. It's very important for them. It's easy to be judgmental. It's easy to quickly find flaws in others. It's easy to look down at other people. It's easy to see certain groups as bad and certain groups as good. So every single person in this group is automatically evil, and every single person in this group, because it's my group, they're in the right, no matter what they said or did. It's automatically right before I even know what the facts are. This is someone who's a judgmental person. And so you can give signs of being judgmental, but I'm going to say much more than signs. It's a spirit. It's an attitude. It's not loving, okay? It's someone who has a critical heart. It's not someone that has Christ's love, okay? So being judgmental, not the same as discerning right from wrong. We always have this, and there is right and wrong. Christ isn't saying this, but we need to be loving to others and not have a judgmental spirit. Question, why is being judgmental so dangerous? Why is this such a big deal that we not have this wrong spirit? Why all the fuss? Well, I think if you look at this passage, Christ will give us two reasons why we should steer clear of being judgmental. Two reasons that warn us of the consequence of being judgmental. Let's look at verse 37 and 38. It says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. The first reason why we should be careful about being judgmental is the way you treat others is the way you will be treated. The way you treat others is the way you will be treated. Christ warns you, okay? Now, there's a negative and positive, okay? If you're quick to see flaw, if you're quick to try to expect everyone else to be perfect around you when they're sinners like you are, this is the same way you'll be treated, okay? On the other hand, it talks about if you give abundantly, it'll be given to you. If you're a generous person, if you're a kind person, if you're a loving person, if you're the kind of person that thinks the best of others, then that's the way that you will ultimately be treated as well. Have you ever talked about when I met my in-laws for the first time? I ever told that story here? I don't think I have. When I met them, I was a little terrified. And I got my wife. You know how she's like super nice, all the time. She wakes up that way in the morning. When I met her family, it's like they were all like that, every one of them. And they were always smiling, and they were nice to everybody. It made me feel very uncomfortable, because I thought I'm just not that nice a person. That you can just start the disappointment clock now, because at some point I'm going to blow it. But well, their whole family is this way. People will always bring them things. If they're sick, somebody will bring them soup. If my wife misses church, it's like the end of the world. Everyone gets very upset. If I miss church, it's like we found somebody else, you know. Okay, the church went on. That's fine, you know. We went on without you. But I think this is true. The way you treat others is the way that you are treated. If you're kind to others, if you're caring, if you give people a chance to explain themselves before condemning them, people will give you the same courtesy when you make a mistake, right? Because as humans, we all fail at some point. We're all sinners. And that we all have our bad days, okay? Some of us have more than others, but we all have those days. And so we need to extend courtesy and kindness to others. And this is what Christ would want us to do. This is Christ-likeness, to give other people a chance. And so the way you treat others is the way that you will be treated yourself. So it's very important that we're not judgmental of others. Now, the second reason why we're warned about being judgmental is found in verses 39 through 42. And let me just read this again real quickly. These are beautiful verses. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceive not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote in thy brother's eye. Number two, being judgmental will lead to a life of hypocrisy. If you are a judgmental person, at some point you're going to be hypocritical. Because if I'm holding everyone up to this standard up here, and I'm a sinner, at some point I'm not living up to that, am I? And this is going to hurt me and hurt my ability to help others. You know who the most critical people are? I've decided. Of all the grouchy and unhappy people I've ever met, number one on my list, I would always have to say it's always the backslidden Christian. Unsaved people can walk away, I think. But it's the backslidden Christian that cannot let stuff go. Have you ever noticed that? They're the least happy people you will ever meet. There is always a problem. If someone is backslidden, everything is a problem. The sun comes up, and that's a problem. Okay? You said hello, but it was too loud, or it was too soft. You know, it's just there's always a problem. Anytime, we get our eyes off the Lord, we start to look at people around us, and that becomes our central focus, we start to see problems. And this can just wear our spirit down. And this can just suck all the joy out of our life. The Lord is perfect. The Lord is pure. The Lord is clean. The Lord is what brings joy. That's got to be our focus. But if our focus is on measuring this person and that person, and, you know, this person didn't measure up to what I think over here, and that person didn't do this for me or should have done this, and they didn't. Anytime we get our focus off the Lord and look on people, it's always ugly because we are all sinners, okay? And this is when it's easiest to look at people, and it's easiest to find the flaws, and it's easiest to poke holes in others. And I think it can become a vicious cycle. The more unhappy you become, the more you find flaws. The more you find flaws, the more happy you become unhappy, and it seems to feed off of itself. And I want to add to this, as long as I'm on the topic. Beware of friends that wear you down. Some people, you're happy until you talk to them, and it's just it's like whatever joy you had left, they sucked out of your life. Be careful. And I will tell you this. The Lord has to help me because I talk to lots of people. It's easy for me to talk to this person and be like, I can add to that. You think that's bad? You have no idea. This is the flesh speaking, isn't it? Because you're not helping anyone out. And you're not improving anyone's emotions or mood. And I have people that tell me all the time, when something is critical, you can tell your wife this, and I think, why would I want to? She has enough problems without hearing everyone else's problems. So I think there should be a right spirit towards problems. We don't need to exalt problems. Now, you're always going to have to talk about problems, because problems exist, okay? You can't just plug your ears and pretend that they do not. What I would warn you about your spirit when you talk about people's problems is that we're going to enjoy hearing every last detail of how bad they are, or is it, boy, that's too bad. It has to be that way. You know, there's many things they do well. Why do they have to do this? Why get caught up in the nonsense over here? And so it's very important we have the right spirit. Even when we talk about problems, that we are still loving to the person, and we're still hoping that they will get it right. Okay, we haven't written them off. Because many times, I would say most people are not completely perfect. Good, they're not completely bad. Most people are a mix. Okay, and so even an unsafe person will have some things they do well. And so it's easy to just blanket statement, this person's good, this person's bad. But we need to have a loving spirit. We need to be hoping that the Lord can work. Okay, the Lord gives three pictures to make his point. The first picture, you have the blind leading the blind. If you are not right in your own spirit, you are worthless to other believers. I will tell you this. And that's found in it'll be found in verse 39. But you have this picture, okay? The blind leading the blind. If I don't have the right walk with the Lord in my own heart, I cannot be of any help or any service, okay? If I'm angry and I'm mad and I come to help you, what does the Scripture say? The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. I'm not going to make a good solution for you. I'm not going to help you. I'm going to add to the problem. I'm not going to subtract from the problem. Don't be the blind leading the blind, okay? Don't try to fix other people if your own spirit's in the wrong place. Don't be critical. The next picture. The disciple must follow the master, verse 40. Where is the master going, by the way? Anyone know this? Where does the master go? When the master gives you directions in life, when there's a decision to make, what's the correct option? Everyone's scratching their head. There's a correct direction. What? Yes. I was purposely vague in my question to make you think, and I'm guessing it's working based on the puzzled looks I'm getting. Who knows where the Lord leads us? Who knows? And I've been in life, and I'm sure many of you had, where one day you feel like this is my mission, this is what I'm supposed to do. The next day, it's something else, completely different. You're like, what happened? Have you ever gone to work and got laid off? It's not a very fun experience, is it? This is my way of earning income, and now it's gone. You're like, whoa, what happened here? Or if you've been fired, something like this. The Lord can lead in a lot of directions. Why does this come up? When we're referring to being judgmental, why would he bring up the master? Let me tell you this. It doesn't matter where God leads you. God leads you somewhere different all the time. The point is that I'm focused on the master. Whatever he does, okay? I'm not focused on everybody else and what they're doing. I'm not keeping track. I'm not making a tally of sins in my little black book in my pocket here. My focus is on Christ. I'm not focused on what everyone else is doing. If you put your focus on Christ, you will be able to be gracious, won't you? Because it won't be the end of the world. If you focus on people, every little mistake will be like a dagger to your heart. It'll be painful. Because that's what you're living for, isn't it? You're living to keep track of what this person does and what that person does and whatever else. What Christ says is, follow the master. Don't worry about this. Wherever God leads, you know, something new comes up, I go there. The next day, something else comes up, I go over there. From day to day, I don't know what could happen. I hope that I die in this church. I would love to die in this. This is my goal, to be in the ministry until the very last day of my life. And I'd love to be teaching high school as well. It would be shocking for the kids, I'm sure. But I would love it. I enjoy what I do here. Why would I go anywhere else? But this is where the master has led me. Could the Lord lead me to a new church tomorrow? Sure he could. I would be brokenhearted if he did. I would do you'd see the whole crying thing when I first came here. That would happen again. Nobody wants to see that, I know. But I have to go where the master leads me, okay? I've got to focus on the master in his direction. I can't focus on people around me. Even the people you admire. How many times is it there's someone that you admire with all your heart and you look to and they disappoint you? You find out that they're sin. How devastating is that? How crushing is that? And it's so hard to trust after that, isn't it? Because you are so focused on that person. The Lord will work through that person. Something like that happens, you're very slow to trust again. No, don't look at people. Follow the master. Wherever the master goes, wherever the master takes you, that should be your focus. Okay? Don't get caught up in people. So the first picture we looked at was the blind leading the blind. The second was the disciple following the master. The third picture is the beam and the mote. And I think the beam and the mote, just for me to visual, just to say it to you, you'll never get the visual. You have to have an actual beam and mote. And I've asked Ethan Wood if you'd come on down. All right. This is his big moment. I'm going to use Ethan, if you don't mind, for a second, because I think you have to visualize the beam and the motor. You'll never get to how the scripture works. Okay. I made it somewhat larger because this is a big room. But here is your beam or your moat. Which one's the small one I keep? Okay, thank you. I don't speak King James English very well. Okay, put it in your eye. There we go. You see that he has a small problem? Go on, don't take it out. You don't have to literally. That's good. That's good enough. We don't need anything better than this. He's got a problem over there, right? And since I'm all here, I'm focused on people. I'm being critical. I'm like, whoa, you can't come to church like that. I'm going to help this guy out. I mean, look at that pencil. That's ugly. What if he tripped or something and it poked even further? That'd be terrible. So, because I am the loving Christian brother who keeps track of everyone else, I will help him. So here we go. I'm going to help you out. If you will just hold still for a second, I'm trying to help you. Here, let me get that. Oh, you got to hold still or it's not going to work, okay? This is going to be very helpful in a second, if you could just imagine here. All right? Now, you need to realize you have a serious problem, okay? Everyone sees it and is aware of what you're doing wrong. So you better fix it. You understand? Okay, hold still while I try to help you a little bit more here. This might hurt you, but it's for your own good, okay? All right. Thank you. You've suffered enough. How much help is that second Christian brother that's so focused on everyone else and has their own problems? They haven't really fixed themselves, have they? This is why they're so focused on everyone else. We can talk a lot of ways about what does it mean to be a judgmental person, but I would say to you, more than just outward things, I think it's a spirit of focusing on people and not on Christ. Where are you at? Are you obsessed with people and fixing people? I hope you're not. I hope your focus is on the Lord, and the Lord gives you a grace and a humbleness in dealing with others and a love for the people that are around you. Not that you wouldn't say something to them, but that you would do it in sincerity to really be a help, okay? And you have the graciousness about you. Let's pray together.